food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, as I thought, we'd have a little bit of pressure on gold this week. You have gold down 170 right now. They come back from the lows, so we're looking at 1249.70. 1249.70 for gold. We have silver down 0.13 at 1648. Platinum is down 10 at 1015. Palladium is down 9 at $554. The USDX today was higher most of the day, down just slightly 0.02 at 95.25. Crude oil was down 23 at 48.18. And the paper markets today, you have the Dow. That's been all over the page, too. Down 7 at 17,493. The NASDAQ down 3, 47.65. S&P down 4 at 24.08. 10-year yield 184. And the euro 112.
I think you need to take another look at the Standard & Poor's number.
Well, you know what? My computer did do something funky. Mm-hmm. Let me pull it up again.
Pretty sure it's not 2408. I'm reading 2049.
Okay, be that way. 2000. Oh, yeah, what did I say?
You said 2408. No, well, maybe so. Then I'll have to look at my.
2048. I'll have to look at, Pay attention now.
I am paying attention. See, there's...
No, you're not. Yeah. 2048 up or down 4. Down 4. All right?
Okay with me.
Okay. Japan, foreign markets, they were all down overnight. Germany's back down below 10 quite a bit at 98.42. I guess Greece went ahead and decided to increase taxes and then add a little more austerity programs in order to get some money. And
here's a little article from CNBC. All right, and it's a video, and what it comes down to is society's generals Toby Lawson said governments are now focusing on fiscal measures and coordinated efforts to try to drive economic activity. The headline is, monetary policy isn't enough to spur economic growth. There's the headline. Monetary policy is administered by these central banks. And they have basically two things they can do. They can fool with the interest rates, and they can supply more or less money. They can inject money into the economy under the form of quantitative easing, or they can have near zero interest rates under ZIRP, right? And perhaps negative interest rates under NERP, right? But what they're saying is monetary policy, meaning the policy is controlled by central banks, isn't enough to spur economic activity. And this is a regular theme. We've heard this repeatedly over the course of the last maybe 6-8 weeks, where people, spokesmen for central banks, are saying, we can't do this. This is beyond our capability, and we need more fiscal measures, which are government measures, to spur the economy. Now, what can government do to spur the economy? And the answer is spend more money, or less. But to spur the economy, they have to spend more money. There's only two ways they can get the money to spend. One is they can raise taxes. They can increase tax revenues to spend more money. And two is they can borrow more and go deeper into debt to spend more money. Well, the government's ability to borrow more money has been inhibited for the past several years, and they have been forced to rely on selling their bonds to the Federal Reserve in order to generate more fiat dollars to inject into the economy. The Federal Reserve began to taper off on that back in 2014, and they have diminished the amount of their, they have at least lost enthusiasm for buying more government bonds. Private parties have basically bailed out several years ago. They're still buying them, but not to the extent that was true in the past. The point is, when they start talking about monetary policy isn't enough, and they need from the central banks, and they need to focus on fiscal measures from the government, this is parallels what you're talking about with Greece, where they're raising taxes. They can't borrow anymore. Greece can't pay the bills it has. I mean, nobody in the right mind. Hey, how about buying a Greek bond, folks? We can get you a really spectacular interest rate on a Greek bond. Now, they'll probably never actually pay it. But if you want to, invest a Greek bond, now's the time. You can really get a wonderful deal, except they'll never come through on it. Same thing in this country. When they start talking about governments are focusing on fiscal measures, the implication is that government is at least thinking about raising taxes, just as they're doing in Greece, in order to, and perhaps put people into austerity, right? Just to try to pay, find a way to pay existing bills. The whole thing is crazy, but it's crazy, it's dangerous, and it's one of the consequences of our fiat monetary system.
But you know what's interesting, too, is the people in Greece elected Tsipras in order, thinking that he would be doing a lot for them. And, of course, it's seen that his hands are tied. There was elections in Austria where the people were going to a anti-immigrant far right. That election, he almost, I mean, it was only a 0.6% difference. The Van der Bellen received 50.3%, and the Freedom Parties received 49.7%.
And the Freedom Party was the one that wanted to move to the right and then slow down immigration or stop it.
Correct. And so, you know, the people are speaking out. We have what's going on. I guess France has their elections next year. And certainly the Conservative Party, led by Le Pen, she is that's going to be a tough battle. You have Germany, who has elections next year. They're trying to keep everything with Greece flowing. So, you know, Merkel can still be the head of Germany, so she gets reelected. So it's amazing how things change during elections. And but the people are speaking. The people are worn out with it.
But
they're not winning.
Listening?
They're not winning, but they're trying.
Yeah,
they're trying.
Listening, there's the point. And you mentioned that Greece elected Tsipras to try to save the situation. They recognized they had a lot of trouble. They elected Tsipras. He was going to be their hero and the rest of that sort of thing. But now it turns out his hands are tied and he can't do anything. Well, we can ask ourselves, it looks as if the American people are getting ready to elect Donald Trump. But will he, expecting that he will save the situation? And I wonder how much he's going to wind up paralleling Tsipras in the sense that he's going to find out he's going to get in the White House and find his hands are tied and he can't do anything after all. So we'll watch and see. The people are speaking, but is anybody listening? Can anyone listen? And do the people even know what they're talking about? Right? When the people are speaking, what are they talking about? We have a debt-based monetary system. And in the end, when the people are speaking, they're saying we need to get this debt off our backs. If we do, we destroy our collateral. We are trapped, and the people don't get this. Huh? They don't understand that you wipe out the debt, you wipe out the correlative paper assets. We are caught in a paper debt trap that we cannot exit painlessly. The Greeks can't get out of it painlessly. We won't be able to either. And the only answer to these solutions is bankruptcy, which the establishment will not tolerate. They want to get paid on their debts, on the debts that are owed to the establishment. They don't want to just write these off. And the system can't stand writing them off. We're a terrible predicament. We're in a terrible predicament. And the people kind of sense it. They're saying, hey, let's get somebody to save us from this stuff. But we're going to need, you're going to need more of a savior than has been presented so far in secular politics. How do you deal with debt that can't be paid?
And then in a month from now, we have the Brexit, and I'm sure our rate increase to some degree is will be determined by what happens, because it all happens around the same time. So,
you think the Federal Reserve will say yes or no to the interest rate, depending in part on whether
it's possible
Britain,
to the direction it goes, yeah. If you're going to have a big, if the Brexit affects the markets negatively, she's not going to do a rate increase. So, yeah, I think that's part of it. It might not be the only thing, but absolutely it's part of it.
Well, when we talk about affecting the markets negatively, people have warned that the Brexit, if Britain exits from its association with the European Union and the Eurozone, if they break that up, people have warned that it will cause a decline in the British stock market. Now, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that will really happen as a consequence, or that's just one of those threats where if you don't do what I say, the house will catch on fire. No, it won't. Right? But let's suppose it were true that the British stock market was going to decline. Would that decline necessarily help cause a decline in the U.S. stock market, or would money flee from Britain and come over to the U.S. stock market and actually cause an increase?
Oh, I think it's about a loss of confidence, and I think when things happen, if you would have England's markets drop, if you have Europe's markets drop, the rest of the world's going to drop. I mean, we are that interconnected. We are that interconnected anymore, and that's why she would basically, hold back on a rate increase. If like I said, I think it plays a part. Is it playing the other part? I don't know. You can debate both sides. Whether Brexit will be bad or will be negative or a positive. They're not on the euro. They kept their own currency.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big part. If they were on the euro, they wouldn't be leaving. So I don't know how much England really played a big part in the eurozone. I mean, maybe certainly for trade, but they've had pressure too. You saw Scotland wanted to pull away. So you're seeing all these changes in various nations, you know, trying to break out on their own, trying to break out because I think they know the system, you know, they don't want to be part of the big collapse that's coming.
Yep. I agree. The rats are leaving the sinking ship. That's what's going on here, at least to some extent. At least the rats are talking about getting off the ship. Whether they get off or not remains to be seen, but the rats seem to know that the ship is headed toward the bottom. Therefore, let's get clear. Speaking of the Fed interest rate hike, which is June 14th and 15th, that's when they'll be meeting. And that's when they will decide. I don't know that they will implement at that point in time. That will be their next opportunity. El Arian, there's a headline from Bloomberg. It says, El Arian says, Fed is talking up rate hike as global yields rise. Mohamed El Arian said Federal Reserve officials are promoting the idea that they're preparing to raise interest rates as a global bond market rally comes to a halt. Officials continue to talk up an increase. El Arian said he's the chief economic advisor at Alliance SE and a Bloomberg columnist. John Williams, president of the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco, said Sunday on Fox News that the U.S. economy should be solid enough to merit raising interest rates in 2016. Now, he didn't say June, but he says it should be in 2016. Aaron Rosengren, head of the Boston Federal Reserve Bank, said the U.S. is near the threshold for a move. So El Arian is essentially saying they're talking about it, they're talking about it, they're talking about it. He thinks that talk may signal they might actually raise the rates, but is it just more deception, more nonsense? You know, what do you think, Melody? What do you think the chances are that they will actually raise interest rates on June 14th to 15th, their next meeting?
I don't think she will.
I don't think they will either.
I don't think she will.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, why don't they just come out and say it? But, you know, it's...
Yeah, that's part of the deal. You know, it's like the dance of the seven veils. Oh, get it over with. You know, just get on with this and get it over with. I think the problem is the last time they raised rates was last December, and the next thing that happened was a significant decline in the stock market in January and decided on into February and on into February, which people traced to the small raise in interest rates. If they were to raise interest rates again, and if it triggered, and if it was followed by another significant decline in the stock market, it would be evidence they don't know what they're doing. And I think it's just a risk that I don't expect them to take right now. They may do it. You know, there's no telling, but I don't think the Federal Reserve will take the risk of raising interest rates in June and then risk having a second decline in the stock market in July, August. Just bad business, shouldn't take that risk, and therefore I'd bet that they're going to postpone this for later in the year, if at all this year. Maybe one time this year, one more time this year, maybe, but if I had to guess, it's going to be third, fourth quarter.
And I think that's why we've seen some pressure on gold. Of course, you know, there's no direction. I think once she makes the statements, whether she does or whether she doesn't, I think you'll see gold rise. You know, unless something happens from left field, I think you'll see gold maintain around this level, the 1250 level. You know, until there's a little more, you know, meat added.
We'll watch
the price of gold to rise, but
while we're waiting to find out, let's take some commercial announcements, and then we'll be right back on Financial Survival. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom. Please stay tuned.
make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with Salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
I just want to remind the listeners to give us a call for all your gold and silver, and we got some great specials going on, and make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and of course you can sign up for our weekly newsletter, comes out on Mondays, and we have a caller, Al.
No kidding. And who could it be?
I have no idea. Some guy, I think, from, I don't know where, West Virginia?
East Virginia? East Virginia or some, West Virginia?
One of those places.
Let's ask him. Caller, are you from East Virginia or West Virginia?
I'm from Central West Virginia.
Central. That's
Central West Virginia.
Not East West Virginia.
No.
All right. Good enough. This is Jim from West Virginia. Hello, Jim. What up?
Well, a number of different times, different subjects have come up, and I thought I need to find a place in the program I can slip this information in. And time again, it just didn't happen. Well, several things I decided I'm going to make an opportunity or two. Monetary policy is not enough to stimulate the economy. Duh, there has to be rules, regulations. And a lot of people who are immune to the law need to be gotten out of the way. Finally, there's a guy who's focusing attention on it, Alex. And the guy has written a book called Texas Shrugged, where he's bringing all this out since 1946, Administrative Procedures Act. So maybe it'll get some mileage. We'll find out. Now, also, several years back, well, I've been in contact with a fellow who has an extended family member in Greece, all their life in Greece, has connections in the government and the police and the military. No biggie deal. At any rate, time and time again, I've heard, oh, the European governments wanted the European Union, but the people didn't. Well, the explanation is actually rather simple. The governments were told, if your people riot, we'll send in foreign troops. Same thing Hitler did. Used troops from East Germany to squash West Germany, vice versa. So the governments thought, oh, goody, we can really do the citizens. And if they get unhappy, in come the foreign troops. And the police and the military were told, you can just kind of exit the nation. And so they stayed loyal to the government.
Well, what you're saying is that the European Union is intended at the foundation is they intend to subject the people to a kind of tyranny, and you can either go along with the program or we're going to put a bayonet to your back. You can voluntarily go, or you can go at the point of a bayonet. But you're saying that from the beginning, this was not intended to be a benign institution.
Bingo. Mm-hmm. Well, it didn't quite work out that way. The Greeks were rioting here a couple of years ago, and they did not pull in the foreign troops. But there's an undercurrent of great fear in Europe that they will do this.
Where are these foreign troops? But they mean foreign troops. If they riot in Spain, they're going to bring in troops, for example, from Germany or from France. Is that what we're talking about? When we say foreign troops, we don't mean troops from outside the European Union. We mean troops from another country within the European Union.
Within. Mm-hmm. Well, Catalonia, they were rioting, and we didn't have German troops there. But there is that undercurrent. The French should have been rioting a long time ago with their tax rates. That's part of the reason they're not rioting. Now, it's even worse in Greece than seeing people want to voice. Let's say you're a single guy. You can get, I think it's $57 a day out of your bank account. Let's say you're a mother and father of four. $57 doesn't go very far. And women over there are prostituting themselves to single men for money. That's how bad the breakdown is.
Yeah.
That's how bad things have gotten in Greece.
And there's only one solution to this, is they need to declare bankruptcy and write off the existing debt, and they'll go through a couple bad years, more or less like Iceland did, and then they can recover if they are inclined to actually work their way out of this and become prosperous and productive again. But if they're going to, one way or another, if they're going to try to hang on to this debt and the illusion that Greece will somehow pay, it's just an illusion. They're never going to really pay the debt.
Impossible.
They can drag it on and drag it on. All it means is the people of Greece will be subjected to more and more austerity while they ostensibly try to pay a debt that can't be paid. File for bankruptcy, walk away, start over. It'll be difficult. It won't be painless, but it won't last forever.
Well, maybe if Britain exits, maybe Greece will be next. Any rate, that's heartbreaking, but that's how bad things are in Greece. Yeah. Another issue, which is very simple. You're referring to tools of you know, that monetary policy can't fix the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to that. Okay, let's look at government for what it really is, what tools it has. A carpenter has saws, hammers, tape measures, plumber, a little different set of tools, electrician, others. Here's what government has for their tools. And you better just take your blinders off and look at this, because the truth throughout history, they can kill, steal, destroy, kidnap, enslave, lie, make promises they have no intention of fulfilling. Now that, in a nutshell, is government. Those are its tools. And if you think that it's anything other than a thug, you're crazy.
No, and you know, there's evidence to support your contention. Some people listening would say, oh, that's too cynical. That's not valid. We don't really look at government as some sort of an enemy, adversary, potential, I don't know, crime boss. But in fact, the founding fathers understood that government was dangerous from the beginning. And it's exactly why they devised a constitution that had a separation of powers, checks and balances, a bill of rights, every bit of it, the voting every 2 years and presidential every 4 years, the right to keep and bear arms, freedom of the press,
Every bit of that was intended to protect us against government. They understood from the beginning, from the onset of this country, that government was a necessary evil. You wind up having to have it, but it's a dangerous. What did Washington say? He said, "Government like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master."
Bingo.
At no point did he say that government is the government is here to help you. Bunk. It is not. They understood it at the beginning. We have forgotten it. And if anybody reminds the public about it today, they say, "Oh, my gosh, the government's here to help you." No, you be dumb. You believe the government is here to help you. You be dumb. All right. The government, again, a dangerous servant and a fearful master. And we are a lot closer to having a fearful master than merely having a dangerous servant right now. But that was George Washington. So my point is your observation that the government is a dangerous adversary, not a benign, not some benefactor, but a dangerous adversary. Your observation is exactly right, and it's been right for several hundred years. I mean, it's been right throughout human history. It's been right throughout human history, but in this country, they have recognized it from the beginning. And they did the best they could to protect we the people from the government. They gave us everything they knew how to give us, back there with the Constitution and also the Articles of Confederation and the Declaration of Independence. They laid it out. They gave us everything they could possibly do. Say, "Here, protect yourself. And we have been conned, conditioned, and deceived into believing that the government is here to help us, and nothing could be further from the truth. And if we don't regain that knowledge, that, you know, people talk, what's it mean to be a good American? I would say it means living in harmony with the spirit of the Constitution. What's the spirit of the Constitution? It is an anti-government document. It says you only get this much power. We're giving you limited powers. You can't cross these lines. They cross them every day. Right?
Well, what? One time somebody said that our Constitution was God's law modified for everyone. I tend to agree with that. Now, there's something else I need to mention here. There is a 1611 Bible term, publican. It means people farmer. Not farming the land, farming people. Now, all you predatory, carnivorous, parasitic people farmers out there, you tax men, you rule and regulation flingers, you self-righteous blankety blanks, I'm going to tell you right now, you're running out of food. You have killed the goose that laid the golden egg. I looked at requirements for going into business, just the commercial insurance. It was like, oh my God. And I work for myself most of my working time. But basically, folks, you little publicans have done run out of food, and it's going to get very bloody sometime soon. And no government can fix this. We're consuming resources right and left. We're not producing resources. You better get ready for some tough times. I don't know whether the dollar's going to inflate itself to hell or whether it's going to be declared bankruptcy. I don't know.
Nobody
does.
There is
no solution for what we're going to hit.
There is no painless solution. That's what it comes down to. The problem, the fundamental problem to my mind, is we have run up a debt that is unpayable, point one. Debt can't be paid, and every dollar of debt that the government has issued in the national debt, there is a correlative asset sitting out there that's called a United States bond. And when they default on the debt, they have to admit that the bonds are worthless, and people are holding bonds in their pension funds. People are holding bonds in their banks and their safety deposit boxes. They think they've got forms of wealth, a U.S. bond. They can't all be paid. Sooner or later, this is going to come to the fore, and people are going to realize they have lost their assets because they invested, they trusted the government. Right? People had any sense? You know, you wouldn't trust government as far as you can throw the Washington Monument. And a lot of people are not just trusting the government. They depend on the government for their support. And they're going to be just enraged and terrified when government all of a sudden has to admit, gee whiz, we can't make those welfare payments, we can't make those business subsidies, we can't continue to provide free lunches, there's going to be a bunch of people in this country that are going to scream because they don't know how to support themselves. So,
well,
headed for difficult times, and it will be a learning experience. And it'll probably take 5 years or a decade for the American people to figure out that, uh-oh, you mean we really have to work to support ourselves?
Well,
yeah.
Okay. Now, there's one thing from people who have been through this from other countries. Several people said, everything you think is normal changes. So, folks, get ready to weather the storm.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've had my little say. I've tied up a few loose ends. I've been meaning to tie up for years. I'll torture you guys later, okay?
Thanks,
Jim.
Okay, Jim.
Yeah.
All right, that's Jim from West Virginia. Where shall we go next, Melody? Do you have any comment? Anything you'd like to add, subtract?
No.
Amend?
I have nothing to say after that.
Delete out, just in case anybody from... We really love you guys in the government. We were just kidding, you know, when we said we couldn't trust you. Of course we can't trust you. You know, and I mean, you can see evidence of this. What do you get? What do government employees expect for pensions, typically? It's a whole bunch more than you'll get out of Social Security. And the people who collect Social Security, generally speaking, made a productive contribution to this society. You can't make that argument for government employees. Now, you can make it, some of them are make, I understand that there's some things that need to be done by government. The rest of, there's a lot of people up there that are just welfare recipients who can't just stay home. They actually just have to show up at a job and fool around for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, before they can go home and get paid twice a month. Doing what? Shuffling papers? Where's the productivity? You know, anyone who's working for the government and think you're earning your pay, put an ad in the newspaper and say, I'm willing to work for $75,000 a year to shuffle your papers and regulate you. And see how many people say, oh, well, I'll hire you. I have experience regulating, shuffling papers, and I only need $75,000. See if you can get your same pay, whatever it is, $35,000, whatever it is, doing what you're doing for government. See if you can get a job in the private sector. I've seen reports that at the federal level, the typical bureaucrat, the typical government employee, is being paid double what he could make doing the same job in the private sector. Where does that double come from? Guy's making 200% of what he's worth. Other people don't get 200% of what they're worth. How come government employees, or at least at the federal level, do? And where's that extra 100% coming from? It's coming from the people who actually work for a living. Government is feeding off the people who really work for a living. Government is predating off the people who work for a living. And they just say, well, yeah, we're the government. We're entitled. We're going to get an extra fat pension. And in many instances, we only have to work for 20 years before we can retire. Let those chumps out there that call taxpayers, they can work for 40 years, maybe more, before they get to retire. And when they do, they'll have a modest retirement from Social Security. We work for the government, baby. And after working 20 years, at least in many instances, we can retire and begin collecting right now. We retire at age 40, 45. The whole thing is, it's insane. And it's predatory, is my point, more than anything else. It's absolute evidence that's right there. You can see that the government is not here to help us. The government is here to exploit us. And if you want to live with that, well, good luck, because it can't continue. Sooner or later, the government is going to have to start becoming productive, or it's going to have to be reduced in size. And the change is going to be dramatic. A lot of people are going to scream and cry, but there's a certain justice behind it. I'm Alfred Addis. We're here at Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Here's an article from Ms. Shedlock at mistalk.com. Headline is 407,000 workers stunned as pension fund proposes 60% cuts. Treasury says not enough. The Central States Pension Fund, which handles the retirement benefits of 407,000 current and former Teamster Union truck drivers across various states, applied for benefit reductions and to the U.S. Treasury Department. Currently, the plan pays out $3.46 in pension benefits for every $1 it receives from employers. Okay, this is the Central States Pension Fund. That's a drain of $2 billion per year. Now, the plan they filed with the Treasury called for a 60% cut in union pensions. All right? 60%. Now, we're not talking about, oh my gosh, they're going to cut my pension by 10%. No, they're not. They're going to cut it by 60%, and that was at least the proposal. But the Treasury Department has the final say on these proposals, and the verdict came in that the cuts are not deep enough. 60% is not enough of a cut in the Teamster pension funds, at least from Central State pension funds. 60% is not enough. The Central States Pension Fund has no new plan to avoid insolvency. Without government funding, the fund will run out of money in 10 years. And when they say without government funding, what they're essentially saying is, look, charge those taxpayers, make them pay. No reason why we guys in the Teamsters Union should pay for our own pensions. No reason why we should be responsible just because we employed a bunch of idiots as pension fund managers and idiots as Teamster leaders. We shouldn't be responsible for our mistakes. Make the taxpayers pay. They're dumb. They're stupid. They're docile. They'll go along. And that's their complaint. They want the taxpayers to fund their pension funds, and that's just wrong. I should not be responsible for funding someone else's pension. Huh? I should be responsible for funding mine. You should be responsible for funding yours. But we should not be responsible for funding someone else's pension fund. That's something that's up to you. You should take care of each of us on an individual basis. In a last-ditch effort, Central States Pension Plan sought government approval to partially reduce the pensions of 115,000 retirees and the future benefits of 155,000 current workers. The proposed cuts were steep, as much as 60% for some, but it wasn't enough. Earlier this month, the Treasury Department rejected the plan because it found out that it would not actually head off insolvency. The fund could submit a new plan. This is the pension fund. It could submit a new plan, but decided this week there's no other way to successfully save the fund and comply with the law. The cuts needed would be too severe. What they're telling us here, what the fund, assuming they're not lying and just taking up a posture and saying, oh gosh, we're going to die if you don't give us a break. The pension fund plan, they're telling us, can't be saved no matter what. And to me, this reminds me of, you know, a little mantra I've been imposing for you for several years now. What can't be paid won't be paid. We're coming to the moment. I've been talking about this for 4 or 5 years. The debt is too big, and sooner or later we're going to face the fact that debt can't be paid. This story about the Teamsters pension fund, at least this isn't for every Teamster pension fund. This is for the Central States Pension Fund, which handled benefits for, again, former and current Teamster Union truck drivers. This story to me is a leaf in the breeze. And when they're saying 60% of the cut in pensions is not enough, it's not enough. They're giving us a clue of what's happening and what's going to happen around the world, around this country. Normally, when a multi-employer fund like Central States runs out of money, a government insurance fund called the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, that's PBGC, kicks in so that retirees still receive some kind of benefit. Okay? The pension fund fails. The PBGC, they kick in, they're not to worry, we'll see that you guys get something. Under the PBGC, a retiree would receive a maximum of $35.75 a month for each year that he worked. And that amounts to $1,072 a month for a retiree who worked 30 years, which is not much better than Social Security. Right? This is the fund, the government fund, that guarantees the private pension fund, see? But there's a problem. The PBGC, the government fund that guarantees this, that protects these other private pensions, is also underfunded and isn't expected to be able to cover all the retirees in the Central States Pension Fund. And my point is that there's a persistent problem here. The Teamster Pension Fund has been underfunded for years, at least the primary one we've been talking about. The PBGC, the government entity that guarantees pensions, has been also underfunded for years. We are living in a world where both private pensions and government pension guarantee programs have been persistently underfunded. And as a result, people who've relied on the promises, that is to say the debts of private institutions, and the promises, that is to say the debts of government institutions, are going to find themselves betrayed and their retirements ruined. The cause of this ruination will be the false promises that everyone should have known from the beginning that could not be kept. There isn't enough money to keep all of those promises. We call them unfunded liabilities. Government calls them unfunded liabilities. We've been living on some sort of an illusion where people who are running these funds and running the guarantee mechanisms, oh, well, this will all work out somehow. No, it's not. We have accepted an unreasonable, false, irrational, deceptive accounting system where government has made promises and promises and promises, and we don't have the money to back up those promises. Those debts can't be kept. Those who believe that the story of the Teamsters pension fund is a shocking but isolated event, I mean, oh my gosh, 60%, and the team and the Treasury won't accept it. If you think that's just an isolated event that only affects Teamsters, you're missing the bigger picture. Pension funds across the nation are frequently underfunded. Retirees who depend on these pension funds will have to learn to make do with less than they'd expected. Some may never be able to retire. Others are going to have to learn to make do with pensions that are cut by 20%. Some will have to make do with pensions cut by 80%. Some will have to make do with pensions cut by 100%. Our total debt, the national debt, business debt, pension debt, private debt, is too great to ever be repaid in full. As I've argued and predicted for most of 5 years, when the stuff finally hits the fan, the existing promises to pay, that is to say the debts of government and many private institutions, will be reduced on average by 80 to 90%. If you have a bond that says $100,000 on it, my prediction, and I've been saying this for 4 or 5 years now, is that when it hits the fan, when it finally hits the fan, your $100,000 bond is going to be worth between $10,000 and $20,000. There'll be exceptions. It won't happen to every bond, but I'm predicting, I still predict, on average, that you're going to lose 80 to 90% of that paper wealth. The pension fund from the Teamsters Union, and the story that we're talking about here, is evidence in support of my predictions. They offered to take a 60% reduction in pension fund monthly benefits paid to retirees, but the Treasury Department rejected the 60% reduction as insufficient. Treasury didn't say how much would be sufficient, but they're almost certainly not holding out for cuts of 63%. In other words, they're not saying, oh, 60% isn't enough. You got to jack it up to at least 63%. That's not what we're talking about here. They are quite possibly, although they didn't specify, they are quite possibly holding out for cuts of 80% and maybe more. Right? Furthermore, the Teamsters, which is right in line with what I've been predicting for several years, we're going to see 80 to 90% cuts in these paper debt, in the value of these paper debt instruments before we're done. Further, the Teamster Fund's proposed 60% reduction, no matter how shocking, is one of the earlier pension fund defaults that the government will have to adjudicate. Today, a 60% cut is viewed as shock. Oh my gosh, 60%, that's astonishing. A year or two from now, after more pension funds go through the same process, 60% may be unremarkable and might even be regarded as something of a blessing compared to the 90 to 100% cuts that are almost certain to happen to many of the pension funds, including government pension funds and perhaps even Social Security. The debts are too great to ever be repaid in full or even repaid by half. What can't be paid won't be paid. And the lesson, and who's responsible for this? It's not just the government. It's not just the private operators of these pension funds. It's also the people who expected to retire on these pension funds. You're responsible. You're going to take it in the neck if you are depending, many of you, not all of you, but many of you are going to take it in the neck. And why? Because you were sufficiently trusting, ignorant, and lazy and you believe what they said. Oh, you're going to retire. You'll be getting $5,000 a month. No, you're not. It's not going to happen. They lied. They really had to know that they were lying. Right? And you went along with it. And you allowed it to go for year after year after year without being funded. That was your pension fund, and you didn't protect it. And now, you know, the chickens are coming home to roost. And I know the pension fund, you know, the beneficiaries and the retirees, we were just good people who were trusted. Well, you were stupid to trust. You were foolish. You should have watched out for yourself. It's difficult and challenging, but it's not impossible. At minimum, you could either have had your own retirement fund, or you could have been breathing down the necks of whoever's managing the retirement fund you trusted in. You should have been reading their accounting books every single month, quarter, year, however often they produce their accounts. You should have been checking their presumptions, their premises, and you should have been sitting back and saying, this is crazy. You guys aren't going to be able to deliver on your promise to me that I will get X number of dollars when I retire. You should have been breathing down their necks. You didn't. And as a result, you're in a bunch of trouble. Here's something more from Ms. Shedlock. He says, public union whiners, when private pension fans go broke, they go broke, meaning nobody rescues the private pension plans. Public pension plans expect a bailout. Unfortunately for Teamsters, corrupt politicians got in bed with corrupt union leaders making promises both knew could not be met. Right? And they were making promises that they both knew couldn't be met, and they also knew they were making promises that couldn't be rejected by the people in the union. It's like me coming up and promising to give everybody $50,000 who listens to this program. It's the kind of promise that anybody with a brain could say, that's crazy, he can't pay that. And yet there would be other people. If I actually made that promise, there'd be other people saying, yes, yes, 50 grand for listening to a radio program. We're going to be rich. No, you're not. You're going to go broke. All you got to do is send me $10. $10. Everybody send me $10 for every program that you listen to. And I'll guarantee that you get $50,000 for every program you listen to 20 years from now when you retire. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to get the $10 and you're going to get nothing. And you're not going to get nothing simply because I might be unscrupulous and proposing things that can't possibly be true. You're going to get I'm going to get the $10. You're not going to get this. You're not going to get the 50 grand because you have been foolish. You expected something that just couldn't be. Taxpayers, he talked about the problem in Chicago. Public workers have no idea how well off they are, the private as compared to the private sector, yet they demand more and more from a state, that would be Illinois, that's already broke. Taxpayers owe the Chicago Pension Fund absolutely nothing. Bankruptcy is the solution. That's true for the painful solution, but it's nevertheless true. It's true for pension funds. It's true for Greece. It's true for, before we're done, for the United States of America. We're going to say we are done. We're out of time. Thank you for listening. We will be back tomorrow. Greg Hunter will join us at that time. Hope you'll tune in. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.